This episode of Film Sack brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. Because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/filmsack and enter the code FILMSACK. Hey, what's you're shorting on something? What are you shorting on?
I'm playing with it now.
Ooh. Cut it out, crackly.
I need some
your Rice Krispies.
I need some. I'm all out of microphone oil. You know what I'm talking about? Contact
oil? No.
Y'all never get the contact lube?
Those who do evil to others, the killers, the rapists, psychos, sadists, you'll come to know me well. Frank Castle is dead. Call me the Punisher.
You were right. Good memories can save your life. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 247. That's right, 247. My name is Scott Johnson. I'm joined today by Brian Drippy Logo Dunaway.
Drippy Logo. Oh, hi, officer. What's that? What do I have in this bag? Nothing, really. I mean, it's just a few essentials. A couple of highly modified guns, some grenades, landmines, and my only T-shirt. Oh, it has a skull on it. My kid gave it to me. He's dead. And since it's in the bag, well, I'm shirtless right now, aren't I? Because either I am delivering punishment or I am shirtless man. Yeah. My wardrobe is pretty limited. I don't got none of that Batman money or nothing, you know? Oh, and this dummy fire hydrant. Yeah, just in case I need to change a parking situation. Also, it's a little bit heavy.
My kid gave it to me. He's dead. All right. Also with us, Randy, how come Mystique doesn't just turn blue and get the hell out of here, Jordan?
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
I don't know.
Did I ever tell you guys about the time I worked as a lone hitman?
No.
It's a sweet gig if you can get it. Mm. It pays well. It's remarkably safe unless you make the mistake of going after an immortal person. You get to take on the weirdest persona you can think of. And the only rule I ever heard is that you're not absolutely never allowed to try to kill the antihero on the same day another hitman tries. You have to give the mysterious vengeance seeker a couple of days to fully recuperate from the attack by the last lone hitman. Oh, and you get to go to such exotic places like Tampa, Florida. Come on, guys, let's go to Tampa.
Held your emails, everybody. Just everyone in Florida, just calm down. It's fine. He's mostly kidding. Also with us, Brian, hey, remind me to tell you about the great outdoor overnight parking lot spot I found the other day, Emmett.
Oh, look, I found Waldo. Hi, leasing office? Yes, my name is Frank. I'm sorry, my name is Schmank Schmassel, and I'm interested in one of your apartments. Yeah, I'm looking for something that can hold a boatload of tools, has three wacky neighbors, and for some unexplainable reason, has an elevator built right into the middle of the floor. You've got something? Fantastic. Also, I need to make sure I can have a mailbox that I can plainly put my name on so that the bad guys can find me.
True story.
That was pretty stupid.
I was feeling Brian Ibbett. I knew you were going somewhere like that. I almost wrote a greeting about running an apartment finder for flop houses.
Yeah.
That was a very odd thing. But hey, found what, three no very nice friends.
Has a vice.
Got a fat friend, goofy friend, and a hot friend. Right. You'll find that in every rundown apartment you ever rent in. That's for sure. What are we doing here? It's the Punisher. It's 2004's Punisher. There are three of these movies. There's 04, there's 89, which we're going to do for Nerdtacular, and then there's the 08 one that we aren't planning on, at least now, because we don't have that streaming.
Which should have been a sequel to this one, but for whatever crazy reason, no one wanted to, you know, use Thomas Jane and write a story that sequeled off this one, and so it's this really fast, like, reboot almost.
Yeah, very strange how quickly that turned around. To me, it feels a bit... Not entirely, but a little bit like how quickly we're going to get a new Spider-Man after the last one. So we're kind of in that right now, but it feels like that kind of reboot. 08 was, I didn't know that 04 was necessarily looked poorly upon or anything, and I don't know what Thomas Jane's deal was, but I think he's a fine Frank Castle. He has the look.
It didn't make any money.
Well, that's one thing, I guess. But that other one didn't either. It's like, hey, let's hire the bald guy from Rome and make it again. And that thing did terrible.
Remember when Ray Stevenson was going to be in everything, and then it just didn't happen?
No. What's he doing now, that guy? Nothing?
He's one of Thor's buddies.
Oh, right. He's in Ragnarok. I saw his credit in there.
He's he's an Asgardian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's Volstagg.
Yeah, oh, Volstagg, okay. Volstagg, the Asgardian, yes. Brian.
guards those asses.
Yeah, guarding the holy Thor's holy ass.
That's right.
He also played Firefly in G.I. Joe.
Oh, that's right. He did. He was in also some other things that I thought were okay. I don't dislike him. I think he's great. I just don't know what happened there. I don't know why we didn't glom on. Maybe he's just not. He was never meant to be more than a great supporting person or a memorable villain or something like that. He's not the, like in Rome, he was the other guy, a fine other guy. Like, you really liked him and he made you laugh and you were glad he was there, but you'd never want him as your main Rome guy.
Well, and this movie, this Punisher movie, predates the explosion of Marvel properties by a millisecond. And now there's rumors about Netflix making a Punisher series. And of course, everybody wants Thomas Jane. And I think it's a good choice, but man, he's 11 years older now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It might be kind of,
he's our age.
Did you see the little interim video they did like in 2010? I sent guys a Twitter.
No, I missed it. What do
tell? Yeah, there was like a Punisher short like in 2010. Oh, right. And I'll show you the link. It's called Laundry Day, I believe. Laundry Day can be a very dangerous day. And
Hold on, here we go. Laundry Day. Punisher. I just saw it. I'll play it here. What do we have here? Oh, it's
like
10
a
10-minute
short, but it's interesting.
Now, who made this? Just some
dude? This was a fan film, but it ended up having Hellboy and everybody in it.
Okay.
Oh, really?
One of those deals. Let's see. Wow. Here, I'll play just a taste here. Oh, there's Thomas. Is that Thomas Jane?
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, wait. He's in the fan film?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's exciting.
And Ron Perlman?
Yeah, this is 2012.
All right, I'm going to skip ahead.
Who's the fan? Like, some high-level director?
The problem is, okay, here's the problem with Thomas Jane. I just want to throw this out before we play Fletcher's bit. Today, he is still a very handsome dude, 10 years on or 11 years on after this, still looking great. You know, he's 45, actually just turned 46, this guy. Looking great. His birthday was in February. I promise I'm not stalking him. I just know this information. Still a good-looking guy, but you know what he looks like? He looks like Mike Rowe from Deadliest Catch and Dirtiest Jobs or whatever.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know how you reconcile that. But here's Fletcher explaining more about 2004's The Punisher.
The Punisher. An undercover FBI agent becomes a vigilante assassin and sets out to unleash vengeance upon the corrupt businessman who slew his family.
Slew them, did he? Mm-hmm.
Slew. Ran them over is more like it.
Man, that
for a while.
Yeah.
That is a cringy sequence.
Yeah.
That's the slaying of the family on their private island.
I had a really hard time with that because, first of all, there are no authorities of any kind on that island, I guess. That's number
probably
one.
Probably not at the house.
Well, how about at the place where these guys came through with giant trucks loaded with a million munitions and guns? How about that place?
Right. Didn't they land on the shore, though? Didn't they, like, bring boats? Isn't that how they got there?
They didn't land on Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico landed on them. Yeah, exactly. Right. That part bothered me, but I'll tell you what. I think it's fatherhood, and we all are those. We all are dads here. Mm-hmm. Fatherhood messes with you when you see scenes like this.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with it. I don't like seeing kids in peril, even though the kid is played by Marcus Johns. He is a mega Vine superstar, this kid.
Who turned into a real douche. Is that what you're saying?
No, he's all right. He seems okay. He's kind of like Jim Carrey on Vine. He's kind of a spaz, but he's very popular, like 10 million followers or something on Vine.
And
yeah.
all the actual deaths are PG, which is surprising. Mm-hmm.
Except for mom's death. That was pretty.
Well, now hold on. Now, I'd even call that PG. I'd say that the where there weren't PG was the knife up through the chin and up through the guy's roof of his mouth. Right. That was pretty non-PG, don't you think? Ooh.
But not only family. It was just PG on the family, though, right? Right.
Off screen. I mean, everything else is very carefully done off screen. Even even the removal of Angel's piercings.
Oh, right. Yeah. They didn't show that exactly.
Stuff out is done. You see the aftermath, and that's the case. I mean, you see the aftermath of the slaying of Frank's family. You see the aftermath of a lot of these things. Yeah. And
which is very comic booky.
Yeah.
Like in that family dying scene, mom and son are running down a pier and they get run over by a truck.
Yeah.
And the way you see it is in extreme close up on them and they drop downward. Mm-hmm. And that's just, it was like a comic book panel.
Yeah. And then, the camera cuts.
It's,
and, you know.
It's very comic code. Not very Marvel Knights. Post comic code.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Like even like Punisher 2099. There's a lot of like impact and mm-hmm. bones breaking and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. What's weird about it is that you're right. All of that stuff weirdly held back, not so much very violent, but later in the movie, they didn't hold back as much. That guy, the one dude, henchman who died with a knife through the throat and up through his forehead, that was gnarly. There was a couple of other deaths like that, and I thought it was a real switch in tone. So I'm not sure why they held back early on. Why couldn't they have been?
I think the attempt was to ramp up mm-hmm. the violence.
Okay.
So that you weren't like tired of it, you know? But the midway point of the movie, when Diesel comes busting in and they get into a big fight.
The tan Russian?
And, oh, yeah.
Waldo?
Yeah.
Waldo, dude. Now that I get the Waldo
that
reference.
That is a gruesome scene, and the movie never actually gets that gruesome again.
Or is good, so in my opinion. I think that is a great fight. It's really fun to watch.
So the ramp is more like a hill to go over.
I agree. So a long, slow hike to the base of the hill.
Long then, movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. longer than you'd
almost
think.
Almost 2 hours, right?
So I didn't see this when it came out in theaters. I've seen it bits and pieces here and there since. Had no real opinion other than people seemed to be a little bit hard on it. Critics didn't like it at the time. Well, for the most part, it was kind of middling in terms of reviews and stuff. But there are a lot of people who think this is their Punisher, and they see it as the big important one. So all this talk about Thomas Jane possibly reinvigorating the role and stepping in again in a series on Netflix where they don't have to hold back, that's really exciting to me.
It is, yeah. This is the first of the Punisher movies I've seen. And having grown up with the comics, I mean, the absolute look and feel of Frank Castle. I mean, Thomas Jane does a great job. And it's going to be really hard for me. I know, you know, we're talking a little bit about Punisher for Nerdtacular. Not talking a little bit. We're talking a lot about Punisher for Nerdtacular.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine somebody else in this role doing as good a job as Thomas Jane.
Let alone Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren. Yeah, exactly.
We've talked about this before. When there's a person and a role that is superb in an otherwise crap movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is a great example. Mm-hmm. Like Thomas Jane and Frank Castle were made for each other. They're perfect together.
Yeah. Yeah.
The actor in the role, the rest of the movie though, you're just like, oh my gosh. I feel like the ghost of L. Ron Hubbard is writing everything that John Travolta is saying.
Maybe he was. After watching Going Clear, I'm not sure anymore. I guess my overall impression, having not really consumed this at the time it was hot and fresh, is that anytime people were talking, it was kind of terrible. The dialogue was very bad, very either over the top or understated or just, I don't know, non-consistent. I think the neighbors were the most entertaining people in the movie. Mm-hmm. At least there was some humor there, but also just, I don't know, I could watch What's-His-Name paint the wall. Ben Foster. I freaking love him.
When one of the cavalcade of hitmen comes along, it's a guy who likes to sing like Elvis to you before he kills you. And Johnny I love Heck. How, yeah, Johnny Heck. That's right. He's actually in the comics. I love how that scene starts with the neighbors apparently run a diner and Frank Castle's sitting there having breakfast and you're just like, whoa, we just stumbled into a sitcom. There needs to be a season of this right here.
That's right. This is where they all get together and meet and the exposition is set.
Yeah.
These wacky folks.
I liked that scene a lot. I liked the fight with Waldo a lot. And I think it occurs to me the reason I might have liked both is I'm a big fan of music either discordant or non-matching the tone of what otherwise what you're seeing. Kind of think of the BioShock effect where, you know, it's awful and terrible, but you're hearing old-timey, hey, my baby, walking out of that kind of thing.
Like, didn't you feel like the score overly godfathered?
Oh, no,
movie?
The score was terrible in this movie. It did not match, in my opinion. But
like the Italian opera stuff that John Panetta is singing and the stuff, you know, when they're having their cooking together like the big chill. Frank is getting beat the crap beat out of him in the other room. That stuff is really good, and it's really well done.
Really well done here. Very, very good. And I remember I felt like I didn't want those scenes to end. It's funny because I'm watching The Leftovers on HBO, and I know there's kind of a divided camp on whether that show's good or not. I am completely in on it. I love it. Love it a lot. 9 episodes in, but they do this too.
You're done.
Lots of use of music that Vince Gilligan did this a lot, where the music just was perfectly opposite of whatever the tone of the scene's supposed to be.
Yeah, it sets you on edge, too, because it lulls you. It doesn't quite lull you into a false sense of security, but it gives you that familiar thing that you like while all this horrible stuff is going on visually.
Yeah. And I've always been a big fan of it. And for whatever reason, this one-off 2004 Marvel thing totally got that part right. And then the rest of the music in the movie, like all the score stuff, terrible, flat, awful, bad.
Forgettable.
Yeah.
Right. I did not feel like the writing was that far off from what we're seeing in current Marvel movies.
Oh,
the only difference is the budgets. Did you watch the latest Avengers? I'm telling you, dialogue.
No, I agree. The latest Avengers did not lend itself to its best work. I agree with that in terms of dialogue, but
movie had a bigger budget, I think, for what the director was going for, which was that throwback to those 60s and 70s kind of action flicks, I think if he had some more money, I think this could have been a great movie. But I think for what they had, I was satisfied.
Well,
with
he was the writer. So the director, Jonathan Hensley, who's wanted in 8 counties for killing chickens. Jonathan Hensley wrote it with friend Michael France. You'd think that he would have, I don't know. I think the direction's okay when it comes to the action. The action shots were all pretty good, but the dialogue in this is just Shitsville. And so if you're saying, if they had more money, well then hire a better writer, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That would have been good as well. I think, like I said, if you read this, the production stuff behind this, they had a half the time that you would normally put towards an action movie to film. They had half or even a third of the budget. So, I mean, to come across with a really rich story as far as The Punisher goes, I feel like it was probably a pretty daunting task, but I think we got something that was at least entertaining.
Oh, yeah. And, no, I had fun with this. You know, I wasn't bored. Right? I don't think. I'm trying to think.
It's a very fun movie. I'm just like, I keep thinking, oh, they're brushing up against like Firefly territory, and then they just don't ever make it there in terms of the script, or the pacing is really janky in this movie. It stops and starts. And it always seems to stop right when you feel like you're just about to get a payoff.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Like, I don't know. It's not like the comics in that regard for me. The comics are pretty hell bent on Punisher actually doing punishing.
Yeah, there's a lot more punishing going on. I think that's why I like the last part of it, because that was punishing time, right? It's when he finally took on the persona, accepted it for what it was, and
he finally throws down.
Yeah, he went to town, which is really fun to see.
And it's hard to screw up a vengeance story, because you're always rooting for the main character to get vengeance for whatever was done to wrong him.
Right. But Brian, it's so hard to make a vengeance story stand out from the others.
Oh yeah, no argument there. Yeah. And this doesn't, sadly. I mean, it's good. I enjoyed watching it. But, you know, he basically takes out each of the henchmen one at a time. He does some pretty creative stuff with turning the main bad guy against his right-hand man and his girlfriend.
Right. Mm-hmm. Othello.
That was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Except I'm a big Will Patton fan.
Yeah, it's hard to not like him, and kind of a little bit rude for him.
I just like him.
What a very interesting character.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah, more so than just the usual henchman. The usual second guy in charge, which is always in every movie ever, where there's a bad guy. He's not the same as that. Mm-hmm. And they created something kind of interesting. I think they may have gone a little too far with, like, bad guys. Maybe this is a trope, so I'll play this. The bad guy, like Travolta, who's got all power and has all the money and all the guns and all the men, and just has all this assumed power or whatever. I don't understand how those guys get into power when they're so easily enraged by just even the idea that maybe, just maybe, his wife is cheating with his friend who's been his friend for so many years, and it becomes his number one motivation throughout all of this. No other things seem to matter, and I just don't ever buy that. To me, it's like, I mean, I suppose Kim Jong-il was that, right? Like, he was kind of the leader that was, you know, kidnapping actors and directors and making his own movies because he loved Hollywood secretly and, you know, was doing all kinds of weird shit and somehow stayed in power because the system he built around him would prop him up. So maybe that's what's happening with Travolta's character. There's just no way to, he was too big to fail, but he just is such an idiot to me.
Well, that was I think that was where they were trying to come across in the story very lightly. They were saying that, look, they're very comfortable in their routine. They're easy to find because they will always be in these locations because they feel like they're too big to fail. They just didn't see it coming. They just thought they were above the law and they could do what they wanted to, and they hit the wrong person.
Yeah, I guess so. Credit where credit's due, by the way. The original Punisher, created by friend of the program. He's in the Frog Pants community, for heaven's sakes. Jerry Conway, who created the Punisher an issue of Spider-Man. So, wasn't that the Gwen Stacy thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the guy who killed Gwen Stacy.
So, he kills Gwen Stacy and creates a great
Not in the same issue, but yes.
Okay.
What an issue that would have been.
Would have been an amazing issue.
I want to get that issue.
Yeah. He's done a lot of other stuff too. Firestorm and a million other characters. But we really like Jerry's work and he doesn't get enough credit for it. I wonder how he'd be. I think he said something in the past about how he thinks all the movies are terrible. But I wonder how he'd be with like a Daredevil style treatment on Netflix where you have the long form story treatment. You have less chains on you in terms of what you can do or don't do.
I'd really be curious. I mean, if we've already found out that he doesn't like any of these Punishers, it would be a moot point to ask him which one he liked best. But asking him, you know, what he thinks of, because he worked so much in that with characters who were destined to be Marvel Knights, right?
Oh, right.
You know, what he thought of Daredevil, the Netflix series, and what he would think of something like that for this.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised Jerry didn't get a credit in this film somewhere.
I'm not. There's always complaints about how creators, especially in the mid-2000s, when you started to finally see decent movies being made, how they were still getting snubbed. So it doesn't shock me. It's still a crime, though.
I stared really long and hard at the credits looking for it. Well, like maybe they would throw him a credit like really, really late.
Mm-hmm.
But it never came up. And he's got some pretty awesome credits in IMDb. Like he wrote Conan the Destroyer and that kind of thing.
Wow. Been a bunch of TV stuff, some Law and Order stuff, just a bunch. It's a really cool career that guy.
It is a Conway Renaissance though, right? Lately, right? With the Amazing Spider-Man 2, basically doing the Gwen Stacy storyline, Firestorm making an appearance, a regular appearance on The Flash, and now it's going to be part of that Legends of Tomorrow thing. I mean, his stock is up. Right
now we just need a Man Thing series, and we're good.
Right,
freaking Man Thing.
I thought that was Hung.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nicely done.
Thanks.
So here's a couple bits of trivia for you. While filming the knife scene, Thomas Jane accidentally stabbed Kevin Nash, a.k.a. Where's Waldo, in that fight scene. So he's got there's a cut on that man that came via Thomas Jane's accidental stabbing.
Oops.
The first comic book adaptation to earn an R rating since Blade. And I think maybe since then there hasn't been another. Except for Punisher, I guess the 2008 Punisher.
I realize I just watched this movie, but I've been watching a lot of things lately. This movie had boobies, right?
Oh yeah, just briefly though.
It was a strip club.
They were montage boobies. Montage boobies.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was the gangster prom.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing. When suddenly they go to gangster prom. That's a trope, by the way.
I know. I love that trope
with they're getting out of the limos and the now what's his name, the actor who plays bootlicker who gets knocked down to valet.
That guy, right? You hate him in everything.
Yeah, Promotions 11, and yeah, right.
That guy,
Eddie Jameson.
Is that his
thank
name?
You. Eddie Jameson. Thank you.
All right.
What a fun little role where he gets to turn on John Travolta and be the informant that makes it all happen.
Yeah, we haven't had him. I feel like we haven't had a montage in a while, so that was nice to see. And then, then you got a little, you got a pair of these
boobies.
All right, way to go.
And there's also a montage with him setting up his apartment.
Oh yeah,
setting the guns up. There's
a trope right there. Chekhov's army. Yeah.
That's when
Chekhov's gun is right next to Chekhov's knife, which is right next to Chekhov's nightstick, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Should be next to Chekhov's Wessel.
I couldn't see a thing that didn't get used.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I like that kind of
stuff. The only thing that didn't get used that I was really wanting to get used, other than the atmosphere, I guess, of it, was that big, huge industrial-sized fan that he had in the window. I wanted something to happen with that.
That was cool.
Oh, right. Well, the thing I was hoping we'd get used more is Candelaria. Like, he disappears off with them and then comes back and he's, like, you know, healed up a little bit more. And, oh, here's your shirt. And, all right, I'm done. Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. Little chick in the bucket there.
What's up with that, by the way?
What?
I thought this, the chick in the busket. We got to change from now on, guys.
All right, chick in the busket.
We got to say.
Yep. Times are changing. We need to adapt.
I felt like this movie was bordering on tokenism with packing in the black dudes in all the different corners of the movie. Mm-hmm. It was kind of strange to me how after the very first scene, Castle gets back to his troop of agents.
Yeah.
And most everybody you see in the background is black, but then you start looking around the movie and everyone is lily white.
Yeah.
Right. So then Castle gets killed and resurrected by a black dude.
Yeah.
And then that guy gets just left out in the ocean.
Right. I mean, this mysterious. I mean, they set him up so well with like the family talking. Oh yeah, there's Candelaria.
There's the witch doctor.
That's right. Yeah. He lives in that secluded place over on the other side of the island. And you're just thinking, oh well, we're gonna spend some time there, and he's gonna be the guy who teaches exactly. The Punisher and the Way of the Force. And it's
I knew there was going to be like some kind of devil rebirth kind of voodoo thing totally. They had to come back from. That's the reason why you couldn't kill him or something. I didn't know.
No,
something on the cutting room floor or cut out of the script or something. That had to be more.
Well, because you're showing him all like Castaway with the beard and everything, and you're like, no, hold on. Where's all the training montages and the how he learns to overcome his grief and instead channel that into revenge? And they didn't do anything. It was just like he hung out for a while.
And that's why I'm calling Frank Castle immortal in this movie, because they're, by not telling you how he was saved, they're kind of leading you to believe that he can't be killed.
Like he's got powers or something, yeah.
Either that or the bad guys are so stupid they just keep shooting him in his bulletproof vest. It's like, shoot him in the face!
Yeah, those guys are dumb. That guy was great, though, that kept shooting him, though. He's great, because his death is a hoot. I have sound effects of him dying that are just the best parts of the movie. Some really great screams and moans and stuff, so we'll get to those later.
Everybody was the screaming in this movie different than almost any screaming I've heard in any movie. It was almost a whine. Almost all of it was very whiny.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah, we'll play some. Some of it was like the wife getting chucked off the thing, and there's some odd.
Totally emperored her, boy. She just Darth Vader throwing emperor into the.
You're right, totally, dude. I thought I and that wasn't even into a river or a lake or something.
It was on the train tracks.
Train tracks. That's just brutal as hell.
Did it bother you guys that she just didn't tuck up, you know? And
she falls. Falls like such a doll.
Yeah.
She wants to make sure she's going to get hurt, too. Well, I guess I'll have to put my outstretched arm over the rail and hold on to the...
And my foot on the other rail. And if I'm going to die, I may as well lose some limbs while I'm at it.
By the way, I of all of the deaths that he forced into Travolta's life, that was the one that made no sense to me. Like when he says it at the end, he's throwing down pictures and he made you kill your wife. And I just, for a moment, I'm just like, really? Like... I don't know. Like Scott Johnson, if you were a bad guy and your wife was in on it, is there anything that could make you kill your wife?
No.
I just don't see, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. He's just so maniacal and so stupid and crazy and killing his most faithful people, right?
That's the problem, though, is the loyalty. You know, if you if you are in that role and you are this gangster who relies on these people, this close cadre of people around you who can protect you, then loyalty is your number one thing. Right, drugs come second, money comes third, whatever. But sure. Loyalty is your...
It's your currency, right?
It's
your currency.
Right.
What you usually do, this is all I'm saying, what you usually might want to do is get some verification of your suspicions.
That's verification.
That's terrible.
Oh, it was awesome.
Something like that easily can't be fabricated.
Nope. So here, I'll stab you 20 times and then throw my check off the river or the bridge.
Off the river. nice. It really stood out bad to me in this movie because I just got through watching The Departed with Jack Nicholson and all those guys based on the Whitey Bulger. Johnny Depp has a new one coming out. Mm-hmm. Was it called Black Mass?
Oh, that looks great.
Yeah, that looks great. So yeah. I've been kind of going back to this whole Detroit, you know, mobster and FBI informant thing. So I've been watching that, and then to watch this, I was like, mobsters are smarter than that. They're manipulative. And he seemed pretty stupid.
At least they had the Cubans keep showing up and breathing down his neck.
The two Cubans?
That helped me a lot because there's always a bigger gangster with every gangster.
The most stereotypical Cuban gangsters, though.
It did kind of feel like they'd gone and got a couple of Canadians from Quebec and asked them to put on Cuban accents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they have done that.
They were great. Those guys were great. total body count in this movie, 45.
No, I didn't know that.
That's total, a lot.
The total cast isn't that long.
Well, according this is IMDb numbers, so who knows?
Okay. There's a lot of family that doesn't speak that gets offed in the gazebo.
You can count extra bodies that, you know, like it looked like his family reunion was like 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Seeing as he had absolutely no involvement in the creation of the original Punisher character, this is one of the few movies based on Marvel Comics that Stan Lee does not appear in at all. Mm. So think of that. Well, he's not in this or either of the other two, I suppose.
I would have enjoyed him getting waxed at the family reunion. That would have been fun.
But he was in Captain...
Hey, is this diner open?
He was in Captain America, the first one, and he didn't create Captain America. That came way before Stan Lee's time. So I don't know what the rule... I don't think there's a rule. I think it's just, hey, should we get Stan Lee? That's a fun thing to do. Sure, why not? And back in 2004, I don't think they were thinking about it.
No, it's
too early for that stuff.
Yeah, Marvel was not ready to become the movie moguls it has become.
Yeah.
And just for those of you out there who don't know for sure, this movie, this Marvel film, is on the Sony Columbia side of the fence. It was made by Lionsgate. And I don't think Lionsgate is that great.
I thought it was purchased by Lionsgate. It was actually an artisan film.
Well, it's all so the original deal was owned by it was a Sony deal because this was part of the deal where they owned this Spider-Man. I forget who owns Ghost Rider, who did, they don't anymore, but anyway, Punisher, Ghost Rider, and a bunch of that other and Blade, that stuff's all back in Marvel's hands now.
As of 2013,
as of 2013. And here's what I think is going to happen. Here's my prediction after, and Daredevil informed a lot of this, but there's a reason why now Marvel, having those rights again, didn't turn around and just make a Daredevil movie. They said, you know what? This Knights of the whatever they call it, the Hell's Kitchen level stuff that we like to do, the dark stuff, the gritty stuff.
Marvel Knights, yeah.
Yeah, where we want that, we have the avenue for that. That avenue is going to be television, specifically streaming television from Netflix or whoever they want to make the deal with. Because there we can go dark, we can go a very different direction than our cinematic universe is going, which is all the capes, cowls, and tights.
Well, and also you can make a movie that's 12 hours long and cut it up into 14 pieces.
Yeah, you totally could. Right. And it's also better served because these stories are dark and hard and they need drama
mostly.
Yeah, and you need to kind of spread them out. I mean, I would argue the only weakness of the Daredevil series, which I really, really like, is I don't like the girl. She drives me, the vampire chick from True Blood. She drives me nuts.
Interesting.
Other than that.
Yeah.
She's just too.
Oh, I like her.
It's the way she's characterized.
Karen Page.
I think she's a fine actress, and she's a very attractive.
Wait till she ODs.
Yeah, you know it's coming. Right. But she's just so, I don't know. She's so over the top for me. And sometimes when you want to go full series like this, you run the risk of, you know, there's some characters you wish were gone that are just going to stay there. I guess what I'm saying is, if Punisher has a chance to become a fan favorite again, I don't think it's in movie form. I think it's a series. So if I would be shocked if Punisher didn't, and maybe it's already happened and I just don't know it, but I'd be shocked if Punisher isn't a part of that Marvel Knights series and they end up as a series on Netflix or something.
You know, I said that about Thor. I said there's no way Thor can carry anything. He's about to be in his fifth movie.
Yeah, that's true. But Thor fits into the kids can go category. The
kids can go.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that
Punisher
you couldn't
can, make, and Daredevil,
yeah.
you can.
Yeah, not really. If you want to do Daredevil correctly, you can't. And when what they're doing here is more akin to what you'd expect from Daredevil in the comics, and that'll be true of Luke Cage and some of the others. So they're going to make their harder stuff, the harder stuff at night on TV, in a kind of TV that's pay, you know, it's basically premium cable. If you're getting Netflix, the same notion as, you know, freaking HBO or whatever, and they're going to save everything where everybody's wearing tights and going nah, 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 nah. That's all going to happen in the movies.
Yeah, it would be perfect. I mean, it would be great to see some of these. I mean, they've announced what, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and
Luke Cage.
It would be great to see some of these other ones like Moon Knight and Ghost Rider, done as a Netflix series.
Ghost Rider could be so good, dude.
Yeah,
Those movies should not besmirch anyone's memories, because there are some comics featuring Ghost Rider that are some of my favorite Marvel comics.
Mm-hmm.
So much fun, so good, so dark. They should totally
do that. By the way, could they have picked someone who looks more like Luke Cage from the comics than Mike Coulter? It is creepy.
Yeah, it's good.
I still was rooting for Terry Crews.
Oh, wow.
But Terry Crews doesn't look like that. He looks like that other guy. Luke Cage has a buddy who's bigger than him.
Oh, right. Hold on.
He comes and goes. This huge dude, Goliath.
Yeah.
Like, I could see Terry Crews as Goliath, but Mike Coulter looks like he was genetically engineered to play the role of Luke Cage. I cannot wait for this TV show.
I agree. That's a really good pick. I think that I think Terry Crews would have been hard for me because he's too funny.
He's so funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but he can be. But Luke Cage can be funny. I mean, you know, in the Jessica Jones and the Alias series, there was a little bit of comedy with Luke Cage.
Yeah, but is he ever not funny though?
That's what I'm getting at. The thing about Luke Cage is that character comes from the grittiest background. He's kind of like he's kind of like a Daredevil in that way. It's all bad when he looks back, and so the comedy has to be kind of dark around him.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah, that's true.
Even in things like the Unbreakables, the Untouchables. What are they called?
The Expendables.
Even in the Expendables, he's just a laugh riot all the time. You never take him seriously.
Yeah, no. And Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
If you are not watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you're missing one of the funniest things on TV.
Absolutely.
That's what everyone keeps telling me.
Yes.
My mom doesn't think so.
Oh, yeah?
Well, and really? Scott, it's...
I showed her the pilot. She did not laugh once. I'm like, mother, it's funny.
It's a 23-minute show. You can watch the first 50 episodes in like a day.
It's on our list. Kim and I have a list, and that is on it for sure. So we will at some point get to it. I got to get through the leftovers and then one other thing, and then maybe that. But
they're about done with the leftovers. They're like 11 episodes, right?
Yeah, 12 or 13 or something. I forget.
Oh, and the other thing I was going to say about Mike Coulter, Brian Dunaway, from Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh.
Well, then forget it.
I'm out.
That's it. Director made three things in his life. Directed, that is. He made The Punishers 2004. In 2007, he made something called Welcome to the Jungle, which was a video. I don't know from who, but I assume not from Guns N' Roses. And then 2011, Kill the Irishman, which had Christopher Walken in it and is highly rated. People really like that movie.
Now, those are the only things he's credited with directing, but his writing credits.
Oh, it's huge.
Huge, like, and it's stuff that we've seen, like, or that we need to see, or that we think we've seen, which is, you know, the Armageddon and Die Hard with a Vengeance, The Saint, Jumanji, you know, things that we haven't yet seen on film sec, but we should.
He wrote Jumanji. Weird.
Yeah,
I don't know why that's weird, but that's
produced,
weird.
He produced.
I thought that was a true story.
What, Jumanji?
Yeah,
yeah, the incredible
really? So
true
he produced
story.
Con Air and Armageddon.
And Gone in 60 Seconds.
Whoa, really? Gone in 60 Seconds, I don't know why I think
it's... I could look at Nicolas Cage for hours.
This is such a morbid thing to remember, but my dad's last two movies he saw two movies in a row, one weekend after another before he died. The first weekend, he watched Gone in 60 Seconds, which he loved because he was a car nut. And then he watched Chicken Run. It was his last movie he ever saw. Yeah. Sad, right? It's a great movie. I mean, and I don't mean it sad that it was Chicken Run. You could do a lot worse than Chicken Run. Chicken Run's awesome. Best Mel Gibson movie ever made.
It's when you start to expand Jonathan Hensley. We've seen him quite a bit on FilmSack. We just haven't seen him. Like, he wrote The Saint. And now that I think about it, I actually was thinking about The Saint while watching The Punisher.
Well, we haven't seen The Saint yet, have we? We need to.
Not on here.
Yeah, we need to. That's
Skinny Kilmer.
Oh, yeah, Skinny Kilmer.
Didn't watch The Saint for FilmSack?
No, we've never watched The Saint.
No. You're thinking of Armageddon again or something. We haven't watched
that
either. That's
so weird. Well, in The Saint, Val Kilmer goes in disguise a lot.
Yeah. Spoiler.
And the first scene in The Punisher, Thomas Jane looks like Val Kilmer in disguise.
Really?
Yeah. He kind of does, yeah.
Oh, weird. Because the blonde wig and all
the
that.
Blonde wig.
That whole opener, the cold open there, is so foreign to me. It feels like a different movie.
It was weird. Yeah. And plus, it goes back to the idea that all criminal activity takes place at the docks.
Uh-huh. That's a good one, dude.
And they really kind of make it mysterious, the fact that the deceased from the first scene has a twin brother.
Yeah.
And it's hard to pick up on that.
Yeah, yeah. Surprising. I was annoyed by, they get all the bodies back, most of which are not dead.
Right.
Yeah. And they get him back and they unzip it and he decides to just keep laying there with his eyes closed.
Right. Exactly. I'm just gonna lay here in the bag and then come up and big shocking point. Yeah.
Then I'll sit up. Oh look, I was never dead.
Right.
Oh, didn't you hate the scene where John Travolta goes to identify his son's body?
Yeah, that was bad.
I actually liked that scene. It was
it was horrible.
It was bad, but it was good. Come on.
It was not good.
Oh, he was always such a good boy. Ew, shut up.
I'd address him until he was thirteen.
13, yeah, that's and a great line.
I've been trying to get him to shave that weird looking douchebag mustache off for about 6 months now.
That scene made me creeped out.
Yeah, I wanted to go
take a shower.
I was afraid. It was waiting for him to say I breastfed him until he was 10, like some other creepy thing. It's just
when
weird.
You to touch my hand.
Yeah, when you do.
I'm still swollen.
So while we're talking about the docks and that great scene, can I have a trope alert?
Oh hell yeah, dude! What? Right here for you, packaged and ready to go.
The metal-sided briefcase. What's the briefcase kind that is? A Halliburton?
Oh, Halliburton. Right.
You cannot transport money in anything but a Halliburton these days.
That's right.
That's true. Why do they always have that, I wonder? What is it about that? Is it because it's metal-looking? And it just seems cool and official?
It seems like if you see a couple of shady-looking guys walking down the street carrying a Halliburton and you have a way of taking them out and taking that Halliburton, you probably are going to get some money.
It's
Whereas if you see them
good.
Carrying a little leather Samsonite briefcase, well, you might just get some paperwork.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get in there. Taxes, probably. I will admit to something. I went out and bought one of those. It wasn't an actual Halliburton or whatever big brand. It was a total ripoff that I got like at an Office Depot, but it looked like a chrome silver case.
Yeah.
And I bought it because I thought it looked cool, like from the movies.
Right. Dude. Now, do you walk around acting suspicious?
I keep art stuff in it. That's the funny thing. It's like a little like dry medium art case where I keep all my pencils and things.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
I'm always afraid if I take that out in public, someone's going to think there's something real good in there.
There is.
Yeah,
that's
expensive. You really want to have some fun? Go leave that by the docks and just watch the hilarity ensue.
Take it to the airport. Leave it by a post somewhere.
Hey, if you leave it by the docks, about 50 cops will come swarming out of nowhere.
Right. They'll see you show up with that thing.
Where are those guys hiding?
They just woodwork. That's where the phrase comes from, right out of the woodwork thing. Here's one for you. Everybody, whenever there's a car rollover, there's always an awkward pause, a moment where you're not sure what's up, and then always they crawl out shaking with blood coming down their face. Every movie ever made with a car crash, absolutely, that's how you're going to crawl out of that thing.
But crawling out, no problem. Within seconds, crawling right out.
Yeah, and you're up and running again.
Or you're hung up in the seatbelt and somebody's going to come along and shoot you.
Yeah, right.
One of those two things is going to happen.
Yeah, every time. By the way, that popsicle scene, I did want to make sure I said this before I forgot.
I
looked that up.
Oh, yeah.
That's in a famous series of the books.
Really? So that is a Punisher deal?
Yeah, and I had a picture of it. I had one of the art panels. Popsicle, Punisher. I'm going to find this real fast. Here it is.
Oh, my gosh, that scene.
Here it is. I'm going to send you guys a link. Here it is. I found it. I'll just keep saying here it is. All right, here we go. It's now in the chat. It's worth checking out. If you want to find it on Google, just search anybody out there listening. Just search for Popsicle Punisher, and there's the actual panels of where he's getting poked in the back with a big sickle.
That's with a big sickle.
Yeah, it was, what was the name of that one? Was it, oh, it was Warzone Issue 1, I think.
Oh, really? Well, they talked a lot about how Warzone inspired a lot of this movie.
Yeah, and look at this stupid thing he's wearing on his eyes.
That's awesome. I like that. Was that a welder's mask, I guess, because he was using the...
Makes no sense in the movie, though. Right. In the movie, he's wearing welder's goggles for no reason. He's got a torch. There's nothing for him to look at.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks so cool standing in his dark apartment wearing welder's goggles.
I like it.
And he even jammed it in his mouth at the end there. So anyway, you learn something every day.
Does it lessen the drama if you're in a limousine and your limousine does not have power windows but has tinted windows? Because there's always a scene in these kind of movies, especially after the funerals, where someone will come up to the limousine or the family car and it'll have tinted windows and they will slowly let it down, but you have a little reflection of the person standing outside and then it's revealed the person inside. And I was thinking, what if your power windows didn't have, remember the crank windows?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, crank windows? Right. Not as dramatic. You ever had a crank window? No. You look like an idiot.
Yeah, right. Just
right. You got to get your whole body into it.
Yeah, that's great, because that stuff, what would they have done in the 50s and 40s and stuff? With
right,
windows?
Hold on.
Were you guys as disappointed that we didn't get more use out of the vehicle with the metal shutters?
Yeah, that felt like stuff that maybe existed that got cut, didn't it?
Right. It should have been, there should have been like another half an hour worth of video of him using the blinds.
Mm-hmm. This movie is full of letdowns on that kind of thing, and I almost think they intended that to be kind of funny. You're supposed to be let down by the guns, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and you're supposed to kind of chuckle. Like my favorite example is when his dad, when Roy Scheider comes out of retirement to give him his guns, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes into this long spiel about how they bored the chambers, customized the triggers, added thread-on compensators, blah, 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 blah. And then he says, yeah, now there's some real nail drivers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nail drivers, Dad? That's what you got?
That's how you know. Yeah, that's how you know a gun is really good when they call it a nail driver.
Nail driver.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, if it's a nail gun, I guess that's a good thing. But if it's a gun, I want it to do a hell of a lot more than drive a nail. Yeah.
I want you to say it's a gun. It's a gun that shoots really well.
You turn it around and you whack the end of the hand grip on the nail and it'll really drive that for you. It's really good.
Something I wrote down, you know how Travolta, so here we are, Travolta, this is an interesting part of his career because this is 10 years since Pulp Fiction. And before Pulp Fiction, he had a lot of crap. Like he peaked with Saturday Night Fever or something. And then a lot of weird, Look Who's Talking Again movies. And then Pulp Fiction, and everybody went, oh, he's back. This is it. The great return. He's going to be in everything amazing. And then he's in things like Phenomenon, which, was okay received, and a bunch of other stuff. I feel like this right here, 2004, about 10 years hence from his big moment in Pulp Fiction, is where you start to go, okay, I think we're good now. We don't need We don't need any more Travolta.
We've gotten as much Travolta as we need. We're good. We're good.
Because what else since then? Think about it.
Swordfish. Okay. Was awesome.
Same role as this, basically.
You did kind of like Swordfish too.
Swordfish was all right. Swordfish is fine.
Swordfish.
But what else? There's nothing else.
Else is talking as well.
Also,
look who else we found that talks. Wasn't that one of the sequels?
There's a neighbor baby who's talking now or something.
This shit's talking too now, is what they're.
Yeah, wasn't there pets too? And they're like a dog one too?
Yes.
Yeah. Roseanne Barr came in or something.
I can't believe we're still talking.
I think that is look who else is talking also now or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah. I can't believe we still are talking.
I got another trope.
Oh, damn it. Wait, I'm so ill prepared. Here we go.
If you're a gangster, is it a bad idea to have a regular tea time or a regular anything?
Yeah.
Yes, she gets her nails done every Thursday. Well, that's dumb. Why the
hell? Everybody knows her schedule, and it's easy to find. We post it on the internet, and you can see exactly where he's going to be at 9 a.m.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Why would you do that? Now that you've said it, I'm seeing it's. It's like my movie life is flashing before my eyes, and I'm seeing all the movies that did this. That's terrible.
But wasn't that kind of based on the whole? I mean, almost all the gangster movies during this time was kind of based on the Whitey Bulger kind of period, the 60s, 70s period, and that's basically how they ended up catching him, right? Because he got very
cavalier with his schedule, basically.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I just watched. There's a great documentary about that called. Whitey Bulger. There's a documentary called Whitey on Netflix.
Right. Cause you, and you thought it was all about white people, and then you're like,
I kind of did. I thought it was like some like supremacist thing, but it wasn't. It was about this guy. I really didn't know when I went into it. I just thought, oh, that's highly rated. It's a documentary. I'll watch it. I learned something there.
I'm having to look up who Whitey Bulger is because I don't know who that is.
So he's an old gangster who, and I mean old, old guy who came to the West Coast and managed to live incognito for like 35 years before the FBI went and got him like 2 years ago.
Okay.
He's still alive. He's 85 years old. He's in prison forever. And
gotcha. Yeah, and that's who Johnny Depp is playing in.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. Okay. He and his wife had bags full of cash and had found a way to live for decades on cash and assumed identities and so on. It's the weirdest thing ever to think that you could be living in a nice high rise in Santa Monica, you know, and the next door neighbor is freaking Whitey Bulger.
You should see him now. He looks like you want to sit on his knee and hear some tales. Like he's just an old grandpa now. Like every 85, I mean, all 85 year olds kind of look the same. They kind of shrink and they just seem nice and sweet. But boy, that guy did some gnarly stuff in his time, personally and otherwise. Good trope there. I like that. What else we have here? Anyone have a favorite death? Mine was probably the cleaver into the head guy. I thought that was pretty good.
Oh, you're talking about the cleaver? Oh, my God, what paper cutting industry. Oh, where did they live needed a paper chopper that big?
Oh, yeah, the paper, not cleaver. It was a paper chopper, right?
Paper cutter. Yeah, and it's funny because, number one, I mean, everything else in there is so rusty and crummy and old. You're thinking there's no way that thing can be sharp enough to...
So by far my favorite is at the end of the movie where Travolta's other living son is captured at a desk and Frank Castle hands him a heavy bomb that he strings up.
8-pound bomb.
Yeah,
right.
he strings it up in a way that unless son stands perfectly still and holds it forever, he's going to drop the trigger and die. And then Castle just walks off. Now, a minute later, they're outside, and Travolta's squealing at him, and and he says, "You killed my son!" And then you hear in the building this scream and an explosion, and then Castle says, "Both of them."
That was pretty good. I love that so much.
And it's so much better than the ultimate death of Travolta, which is tied to the back of a car through all these exploding cars. So and dumb. The noises that Travolta's making throughout this whole thing, and I'm hoping you caught some of it for the clips.
I might have.
Just ridiculous.
My legs are on fire.
I was so excited the movie was over. I didn't even realize that the explosion. First of all, the car lot was John Travolta's car lot. Right. And secondly, the explosions created a Punisher face in the car explosions. But I didn't see it.
I don't know if Netflix didn't make that connection.
I don't know if Netflix minimized on me or what, but it was.
They may have shrunk it on you, but I noticed. I saw it and went, oh, and that's why you're blowing up everything to make a big logo.
That's supposed to be a payoff, and you're just sitting there, mouth agape, like, what?
I don't even know what happened. I'm not even sure Travolta died for sure. Like, I don't know what happened.
When did Frank Castle work the pyrotechnics out?
Yeah.
Like, what? Are you kidding?
Yeah, that was pretty synchronized logo making is what that was called. And the way he pulled him in there and the way he was kicking and screaming with his legs on fire, they never really showed his ultimate demise. Even the car that blew up with pulling him didn't blow him up. It just blew the car up.
Right, but he's on fire at one point. Oh, yeah, look at that. How did I miss that? I'm looking at the image online right now.
Yeah, big skull. I wondered if maybe that was to set up a sequel where somehow Castle he'd show up on a wheelchair with no legs. And
his wife, she just got one leg chopped off because she made it through most of the train.
Yeah, now that's a movie I could get into, man.
There's some fire and explosion. I'm looking at this thing right now. There's no way you could do this.
No, yeah,
no that way. It'd be that more, way more pixelated. It should be a very pixelated skull.
There must be a deleted scene where he gets together with like an artist who usually works for Rammstein or something,
right?
And sets that up because there's just no way.
Also, tropey as hell. Hero movies where their logo is created in giant flame or exploding things or something. And this happened in the Daredevil movie, Big Fire DD in the middle of the road. It happened in The Crow. It was always a giant crow thing, burning crow. I think Batman's done it at least a couple of times, a big bat logo frying up the ground on like Batman Begins. Mm-hmm. What is with that? Like, what's your statement there?
It's the Zorro trope or the Zorro effect.
I guess so. You're leaving your mark. But
gotta leave your mark.
But yeah. At least Zorro did it on your chest. Everybody else, you know.
Zorro's always doing it on his chest.
I knew as soon as I said it, it was the wrong thing to say. That's terrible. All right. What else? Is there anything else? Even if that was his parking lot, and even if those were his cars, somebody had to drive and own those, and I would have been pissed. I'd walk out and go,
well, no, there were.
Hell?
It was a car lot.
Car lot,
it was, John Travolta owns those until somebody comes and buys them.
Oh. He was his. It was like a new car lot.
Right. It's like his. Some mysterious business that he had skyscraper for. But then he also owns a used car lot.
Okay,
that's
weird.
That's where he laundered his money, you know. So he's got to wash it some way. So he's got to do with his business.
Apparently I missed that too.
Yeah, you always see. I missed that completely. My intro for Ibbot is dumb now because my joke was, oh, there's this great parking lot I found in New York. They're so hard to find, and now my car's on fire. That's what I was talking about. Because I thought it was just a parking lot, some random one across the street from his building. This whole time, until you've now told me it was his. So there you go.
By the way, the Frank Castle family was.
Woo-hoo, my car was in the eye.
The Frank Castle family was really weird. They seemed to have lots of money, but they also seemed to have no money because their headstones were like the crappiest headstones.
I know.
Ever.
Yeah, they were bad. Also, we didn't even talk about the stunt casting of Roy Scheider as the dad in the first 10 minutes. Like, what are you doing with that poor guy? Leave him alone. Leave him out of this.
He's great, though. I like him.
He's
great.
They brought him out of mothballs and then put him right back into them.
He died. He died like right after that. Let's see. When did he die? We're going to find out real quick here. When did he die? He died. He maybe he didn't die. He not die.
Roy 2008. Died. No, he died in Little Rock, Arkansas in February 2008.
All right. 4 years later. It's all he had left. Oh, right. Man.
Was this his last? Oh, please don't let this be his last thing.
No,
he did
Family Guy. Iron Cross, whatever Iron Cross is. A ton of stuff.
Dang. He had like, you know, a dozen roles after Punisher.
Yeah. Some of them are poo. Like Dracula 3 Legacy, that's poo. I don't know what any of this is. None of this sounds familiar, but whatever. I like that guy too.
I have one last trope I just want to bring up.
All right, let me pull that up.
We don't really need to talk about it, but it's this trope that I hope is over forever. It's called Armored Closet Gay. And Armored Closet Gay, the best example ever is Chris Cooper from American Beauty. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
the you know guy across the street who ends up basically killed. Well, I better not spoil the whole movie.
Well,
anyway,
do we know though? Do we know that he was gay, or was he turned off by Kevin Spacey's on, or was he?
Yes, he's, okay.
Oh,
well, anyway,
I don't know.
Anyway, it's the trope is made fun of in Tropic Thunder with the character Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Who's this like famous brash rapper who turns out to be gay and like I just hope this is dead. I hope this trope never happens again in a movie. Mm-hmm. And in this one, it was particularly heinous because Frank Castle so easily follows Quentin to where he's making out with his boyfriend next to a building. Mm-hmm. Like right. It's just like, how in the world do you think this guy was hiding this from anybody?
I feel like I haven't seen it in a while, other than being parodied. So maybe we're good, you know? Maybe we're done with that.
Yeah, it was parodied in an Anchorman. Do you remember?
Oh, I still haven't seen Anchorman 1.
The sportscaster.
Or 2.
Whenever he gets drunk, he starts hitting on Ron Burgundy every time.
I mean, I haven't seen that. I should really watch that movie.
No, you've kind of missed your boat. Sorry,
have
man.
I? It's no good now?
Just don't even.
Wow, you really haven't seen Anchorman?
I've never seen either Anchorman. It just flew.
I would call it the most quoted movie of my lifetime. And I'm curious if you sometimes feel like people around you are quoting a movie and you haven't seen it.
I hardly ever hear it. I hear a lot of Who Runs Bartertown in my life, but tell me what you're
on this show.
Give me a common thing and I'll tell you if I've heard it.
I killed a man with a trident.
Nope.
20% of the time it works 100% of the time. Or what's the
60% of the time it works every time.
Right.
Maybe.
It's surprisingly hard when challenged to quote something very quotable.
Yeah. I just
scotch,
I don't.
Scotch.
Get in my belly.
I've seen some of that from like clips. So maybe I've heard them that way.
It's very much like the Apatow right. style of movies. Yeah. I mean, if you like those, you'll like Anchorman. If you feel like you've seen one, you've seen them all kind of thing, then...
I bet I'd like it. I like Will Ferrell a lot. I don't have any reason why I didn't see it other than I just never got around to it.
Don't bother with the sequel.
I don't think it'd blow you away, but I think you'd probably laugh a couple of times. You'd probably most likely get bored.
Okay, real quick here. Mm-hmm. Best example, and I don't mean serious like that one because I thought that was a really good movie, but what are the funniest Will Ferrell movies if you had to rank them? Are you picking
Anchorman,
Anchorman's
number one.
Okay.
Old School.
Old School's pretty good.
No, I'm not a fan of Old School.
Don't like Old School? Funny. That is my favorite.
I mean, it's...
It plays this old guy going back to school trope a little hard.
Right. I don't necessarily like the movie the best, but his role in that movie is
pretty
the best.
Funny.
It's pretty good. It's pretty and good. Also Step Brothers.
Yeah, Step Brothers will grow on you.
When he puts his scrote all over his brother's drum set,
What's that all over my drum set?
I'm to remind myself of ones I'm sure I'm forgetting about. Because I did like...
I'm gonna rank them for me. It's Anchorman, and then Elf, and then
Elf. See,
Elf is really good.
I think Elf might be at the top of my list. Actually,
I don't like Elf as much as a movie experience, but I think he's amazing in it. I think the movie itself has issues, but
really,
it's fine. It's good throwaway fun thing. Yeah, the kids love it.
I think it's a Christmas movie, so I've kind of attached it to other feelings. So I kind of let it slide. I'll let Christmas movies slide with their quality a little bit more than the rest of the year.
Yeah, I'm okay with that too. I think that's a good general.
I kind of like Stranger Than Fiction. I know it was.
Oh no, I love that one.
Yeah, way really underappreciated.
Great movie, but he's not funny in it. It's just serious.
Depressing as crap.
My number three is Talladega Nights. Don't forget Talladega Nights.
No, I did not like Talladega Nights.
I didn't either. I never
cared for that one much.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if I really like funny Will Ferrell or if I just like serious Will Ferrell. Maybe that's my problem.
Well, that's why I started this whole conversation, because it seems like my favorite thing is also Stranger Than Fiction. And I can't think of anything.
Yeah.
And I think SNL was great.
You know? Elf for me, I'm just looking through the list. Elf for me is definitely my favorite Will Ferrell funny role.
Yeah.
Right.
Even the I hate that song, Baby It's Cold Outside. It's so rapey.
Really?
It's so rapey.
It's a great song.
It's rapey.
It's a very rapey song.
It's very rapey.
The problem with Will Ferrell is that he was on Saturday Night Live, and so there's so much that you kind of want a movie of, but you know that it couldn't hold a movie.
Right.
You know, like him as Alec Trebek.
Right. Right,
you know what I mean?
The Blue Oyster Cult,
right?
Cowbell guy. I mean, yeah, exactly. Things that work really well in little bits.
How's his new one? How's Get Hard? Is that any good?
I've heard it's really bad.
Okay, yeah. It sounds bad.
It's got Alison Brie in it, though. I do want to see that. See it for that reason.
Did anybody get into A Night at the Roxbury? Did you guys react to that?
I liked it as a sketch. I don't know if I liked the movie. I kind of
Nicole Spagnolo highly recommended that to us for a recommendals one.
She's a huge fan of that stuff.
I still haven't watched it.
Another one that's hard to love is Zoolander. And it's like,
I think Zoolander is great.
The people who love it really love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you
I have it on Blu-ray right over here.
Right over there.
What's the one where he's in the yard running a garage sale by himself?
Oh yeah, that's
supposed to be really good.
Everything Must Go.
Never saw Everything Must Go, but I heard good things about that.
It's really good. Is it
2010? Yeah, Everything Must Go. Rotten Tomatoes.
It's another serious role for him. However, he's funnier in that one than it's Stranger Than Fiction.
Stranger Than Fiction's so good though, dude.
It's so good, and it's got those two guys from the car of the Sonic commercials.
Yeah, we should see that again. It's really good.
Let's all give Stranger Than Fiction and Elf our recommendation.
Okay. I think that's a fair there you go. Yeah. I think every week we should try to give a little thing like that. 247 episodes later, new segment, everyone. Movies you should see that have nothing to do with the one we're talking about. Yes, Brian.
I totally forgot about The Other Guys, and I remember I loved the crap out of that movie.
It's the one with Marky Mark?
Yeah, with Marky Mark, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, The Other Guys...
It's short.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Other Guys is kind of like Step Brothers. It's you're kind of just like, yeah, this is funny at times, but it doesn't knock your socks off.
Right. Yeah. Well, I've never seen it, so maybe that's one I'd have to get as well. I've got myself a Will Ferrell sandwich, and I'm missing the bread. I don't have I don't have Ron Burgundy, and I don't have that, so maybe I'll get around to it. All right. Let's do some clips. Before we do, going to take a very quick break. When we come back, it's clips time, so everybody hang tight. Hello, people. As a reminder, today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Casper at Casper.com. We're excited to have these guys on board. Online retailer of amazing premium mattresses for a fraction of what you're paying for normal mattresses. Going to a store and pay way, way too much. Casper's here to save you. They're revolutionizing the mattress industry. They cut the cost by dealing with retailers and all those sort of middlemen they called, showrooms and so on, and they pass that savings directly on to you, the consumer. They obsessively work on engineering the best mattress money can buy at a fair price. Two technologies that matter most, latex and memory foam, they come together for better nights and brighter days. I have one. And guess how I have one? They sent it to me with a painless return policy of 100 days. I have 100 days to try out this mattress. 100 days. Guess what? I kept it. Why? Because I love it. I'm not kidding either. It's great. And I didn't have to go into a showroom and lay there and try to pretend like that was a good night's sleep. I get to actually try it. You guys should do the same and save some big money. We're talking like $500 for a twin, $950 maybe for a king. Comparing that to the averages in the industry, that is extremely low. Save an additional $50 as one of our audience members by going to casper.com/filmsack and then enter the code filmsack. So for $50 off, go to casper.com/filmsack and enter the code filmsack. And we're back. Hello, everybody, and we're back.
Oh, we're back.
Yeah, we're back. Let's do some clips now. I got a bunch, and they feature the following. How about this one here? With some people talking.
You sell homegrown pot by the ounce, Mickey, not by the barrel. You sell badly forged fake passports to Haitians. What inspired you to become the Mr. Universe of international arms dealers? Mickey, you should apologize for the death of Mr. Saint's youngest child.
Okay, I know how it looks. But Bobby, he buys pot from me. And when he found out what I was doing, he insisted on coming in. He put up half the cash. He came of his own free will.
I kept it mainly for that punch at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I don't know why, but I like that a lot. Here's a trope for you.
If you're going to kill me, would you leave my face alone for my mother?
I love this idea of leaving my face alone.
Did you notice the restaurant piano in the background?
Yeah. Yeah, what was that about? Were they still in a loungy kind of thing, or was that at the...
It's so weird.
That was the bar,
If some gangsters were killing somebody... And you're on the piano, you'd take a bathroom break.
Yeah, it's right. Play it again, Sam. Okay, sir, you got it. Doodle-doo-doo-doo-doo. All right, now back to the killing the guy with a gun to his face. It's really weird. Really, really weird. All right, Travolta speaks.
And if it's any comfort to Mr. Saint, he's dead too.
Well, it's not. It's actually no comfort at all. But what might be comforting to me is to watch the slow death of the man who was supposed to be taking care of my son. And making sure that he did not get into trouble.
I will not use any words that I do not have. I'm not putting any.
I will not use any contractions.
No contractions at all. No apostrophes in any words that I say.
He wants a slow death, and then he makes a very quick one.
Yeah. I'm glad Brian said contractions because it left my brain and I couldn't think of what they were called. I wrote shot guy. Sure. I don't know what this is.
Mr. Saint, it was Bobby's idea. He wanted to go alone. He thought he could impress you or something.
Thank you for that explanation.
Oh, he was right. Okay. Yeah. Some bad acting. That's what that was.
Horrible acting.
Yeah. Didn't buy for a minute that your feet or your legs were just shot out. All right, here you go. This is some bad dubbing. Some dubbing time. There's a lot of dubbing in this, I thought. Thomas Jane lines especially, so I don't know what's up with that, but here's some of that.
Mr. Saint, it was Bobby's
That's the wrong one.
Wow, this sounds a lot like the other one.
Listen again.
That's a bad reuse dubbing. Okay, real dubbing. Here you go.
So why London?
London's a safe place where we can all be together. No more moving around, I promise. Someday when you're older, Will, I'll tell you why we had to move so much.
All right, now, what you can't
but
see...
But you'll never get older than this.
I just realized that line doesn't... You can't tell how dubby it is. In the actual thing, there's wind blowing, like... I mean, there's no way they're talking out there.
That was probably the problem, too. So they dubbed over with birds chirping, and they'd really golfed it up, you know?
And that music gives you an idea how bad that music is.
I'm going to keep pointing out the piano and trumpet.
Yeah.
This was all piano. They're going to switch over to trumpet here in a minute.
It doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit at all. No, it's like I was screaming at the music because I felt like the music was hurting me.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Here's your Roy Scheider moments.
I just want to say that I'm very happy that you're all here. I'm very proud that you're all here. And that I love you.
Oh, there's a shark. You get out of the water. There's a shark.
At that moment, didn't you kind of want to get yourself a rich family and go to a reunion on a beach?
Sure.
No, that's kidding.
That's the truth. Yeah. That seemed all right.
Really worked.
Didn't want that 5 minutes later, but I wanted
right.
it then.
Yeah. I don't think it was very nice that the grandma had to die first. That wasn't very nice.
No, I thought it was mom. Dude. Oh, I guess it was.
Well,
his mom.
His mom and the kid's grandma.
Right.
Grandma dies first.
I kind of wish they had let the family put up a little more of a fight.
Yeah.
Because it was genocide and it was a massacre. And I just kept thinking, Frank Castle, like his dad is giving him the family guns. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be awesome if grandma had been walking through the room they were in and she picked up a shotgun and got a shot off?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I could have gone for that.
Drunk seems some like nails into him.
It seemed like a good third of the family got away, though. Where'd they all go? Because they weren't all laying there dead by the end.
Yeah.
Well, like a couple of them get in a boat, get shot out in the sea. Like, it's pretty awful.
Yeah. I didn't like that. The whole opener made me uncomfortable. I guess that's the point, but there it was. Here's one about, what? Oh, projecting deaths way ahead of time. So here you go.
You and I, we're not lucky. We are blessed.
And then the shooters come.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. As if we're not going to just kill your whole family. We're going to make sure you find out that your wife's pregnant and kill her.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Good times. All right, here's one about, oh, I said, well, this is dramatic, I wrote.
Wait.
This music.
His family.
So Austin Powers.
His whole family.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. bad.
And when they did revealed her, they made it seem like they were going to suddenly show, like, I don't know, some famous old actress was
right.
going to be under
yeah,
that
you're
thing.
Yeah, you're going to see, like, Betty Davis.
Yeah.
It's me.
It's me the whole time, she. Kill his whole family. Like, they didn't do that. It was just some lady that I still don't think I know very well from movies.
Yeah, just the only thing I think I'd recognize her from was Mulholland Drive.
Oh, she's
or Mulholland Falls.
The,
or one of those.
She's a lesbian in that.
She's a lesbian.
Yeah, yeah. Her and
Naomi Watts.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Being lesbians. all right, here's that terrible fire sound that is in every movie with a fire, and I hate it. So we're about to light a big fire, and this is the sound you get. I hate it. I hate that.
Why?
Right that from was the soundtrack of Backdraft.
It's
right?
in everything. Fun. It's in every movie where there needs to be fire. They just use some Hollywood stock file. I hate it.
But that's what fire sounds like.
What? That. That thing? it sucks. It's the worst. I hate it. No, it wouldn't. When he lit that thing on fire, it would have gone. That would have been it. Not. Oh, I hate that so bad.
That's funny.
I
that
hate
is
it.
One of those, that is one of those weird things that Scott Johnson gloms onto.
Every time I hear it, it takes me out of no matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. It takes me right
so
out
funny.
Of your movie. Here's a trope. Oh, here's a trope. Fake singers in a nightclub. I love those.
Right.
They're
this is
fake.
So going to boost my career.
But they're never like real. It's always fake. They're always up there. The camera lingers on them for a bit while they sing, and then we get onto the story. It's a thing every movie uses, and I hate it. It's terrible.
What that little bit right there with that singer really drives home for this movie is that you're never going to see anybody's fury portrayed angrily. It's always about tranquility. And it's so different than most movies. Like, there's not a moment in this movie where heavy metal is employed to give you the sense of what's going down.
Yeah.
It's always just tranquil, simple, loungy, godfathery trumpet music.
Doesn't fit. Never fits. Oh, hold on, I gotta light a cigarette real quick. Okay, I'm good now. I'm good. Here's some Frank Castle.
God's gonna sit this one out.
Oh yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was really hoping you'd catch Candelaria saying "Go with God" before
have.
That.
That's right, because that was that moment we had a beard. That very like 5 seconds he had a beard. Here's Ben Foster's first lines.
You are insignificant. You are a coward. You are a great disappointment to your mother and I.
Love him.
Mm-hmm.
I'll watch.
I was really expecting that he was going to be talking to a mirror.
Oh, right.
And then they pulled back and he's playing a video game.
Yeah, he was playing some shooter of very dubious origin. I don't know what that was.
Right.
That did not look real.
Quick, favorite Ben Foster movie?
Oh, 310 to Yuma for me.
Oh, that is so good. Yeah.
He is riveting. And why he didn't win like 10 awards for that, I don't get it. It's a robbery. Highway robbery. He's fantastic in it, though. But he's in lots of things. I thought Pandora was it Pandora? Yeah, with Dennis Quaid. He
Pandorum.
Was Pandorum. Not a great movie, but great in it. He was really good in it. I can't think of anything else, though. What else is there?
I mean, the only other thing I'm thinking of is X-Men Last Stand, which I didn't like.
You know, but he was the best thing in the movie.
He was a great Warren Worthington, and it's a bummer that, you know, that they couldn't continue using him for other things.
But I don't even think he had a line in that movie, did he?
Did he? Oh, yeah, because he was arguing with his dad about wanting to keep his wings, and his dad was like, no, you're a mutant, and we're gonna cure you of your mutantness.
Oh, you know what? You're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked the mechanic. That was awesome. You guys really? Mechanic?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
We talked about, Bale, right? Yeah, watching Christian that Bale. For Film Sack.
Statham.
Jason Statham movie?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep, yep.
Oh, here he is. I found a clip of him yelling with his dad. Oh. Maybe not.
That's when he was jamming in the garage with his dad.
Oh, my gosh. Somebody. I hate YouTube sometimes.
My Chemical Romance? Is that what that
It says right here. It says Ben Foster's character Angel argues with his father. And it's some like mashed up thing.
They played music over top of this. Probably because they got hit for copyright, probably because of the audio, and so they changed the music over top of it. I hate that crap.
Maybe there's billions of
those.
Just pull
it.
There's billions of those in there. Yeah. Whatever.
By the way, so he's going to be playing Medivh in the Warcraft movie. Correct. Medivh, is that how it's pronounced?
Medivh. Medivh?
Medivh.
Medivh. Medivh. It's Medivh.
Is it Medivh? I've always said Medivh.
Why?
I don't know. That was Warcraft 3 time. I forget what I say. But he's going to be great in that, I'll bet.
Yeah.
I have high hopes for that.
I have a feeling he's going to be carrying a big stick.
That's a
just got a feeling.
That's some pivotal shit right there, him, that character. So watch for that next year, June 2016. Mm. Be there. Great disappointment.
You are a great disappointment to your mother and I.
I guess I just did that twice. Great.
Yeah, and I thought it was funny.
That's more of a separated clip for using for other things, I guess.
It was worth playing again.
Yeah. I don't feel too bad about it. Here's some burning meat.
You'll smell burning meat, and then it'll hurt.
It'll hurt. Kind of wonder if Thomas Jane couldn't find the line there and they just went with it.
Well, that's funny you should say that, because this very next clip, I'm pretty sure he referred to a window as a window. And here's my proof.
Now, out the window.
Out the window.
He did. Out the window. He's Southern.
He said window. He just happened to say window there, which is great. All right. Some good Travolta points things.
Maybe he's still alive because he was meant to suffer more. I don't know. But how can we make him suffer if we can't find him?
Oh, gosh. Honestly, we were done with Travolta at that point. I really feel it. He started to sound the same in everything. All these movies.
How can we make him suffer?
He sounded like this in Face Off. He sounded like this in Broken Arrow. Like, it's the same guy over and over and over. Suffer what? Whatever this is.
Maybe he's still alive because he was meant to suffer more. I don't know.
Oh, I guess I can't.
I don't know.
By the way, Mathis?
Yeah.
Also in Broken Arrow. With Travolta, and also in Pump Up the Volume with Christian Slater, who's in Broken Arrow, and with same writer, maybe. There was another connection to this in Broken Arrow.
Yeah, he John Woo directed, so it wouldn't be him. We watched that here, though, right? We
did, yeah. The other actor, the Will Patton or something?
Let's see.
Can't remember.
What are we on about? I'm lost now.
We're talking about Broken Arrow connections now.
The connections to Broken Arrow. Samantha Mathis, John Travolta, and then there's some other connection.
Christian Slater isn't one.
Yeah, he is. Oh, you mean
to this?
No, this movie.
Yeah, right. I see what you're saying.
Maybe that was it. Maybe she just always works with John Travolta and Christian Slater.
Maybe Ben Foster.
Maybe that's why I put it in my notes.
By the way, just speaking of actors that are in lots of things, including Broken Arrow, the guy that was the prison warden in Shawshank Redemption, who is in Daredevil, as the accountant guy that annoys everybody.
Yeah.
When he dies, or when he retires, hopefully then, could the Academy give a Permadick Award like everything you've ever been in, you've been a dick in.
Every character you've played is a dick.
He's never played not a dick. Like, name one and I'll believe you.
But his character, by the way, in the comics, that, and I'm trying to remember who he turns into, but he's, the owl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, character turns into the owl in Marvel Comics. And
So you're talking about an actor named Bob Gunton.
That's the
guy.
That's
who we are.
Yeah. Bob Gunton.
And he has an episode. He has an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation where they may as well have just taken the character from Shawshank Redemption and plopped it down right in the middle of that show.
Right, and he was a jerk, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Same character.
That's what I'm saying. He can't
He's
be anything.
Demolition Man too.
He can't be anything else. That guy. Yeah, Demolition Man also always a dick. I'm telling you, the AAD award this year goes to.
But probably, and I'm sure, the super nicest guy in real life. You know, he's got to be like...
Oh, he's probably a total sweetheart. I've got new roses in the garden, and if you'd come around this way, we'll have tea. Like, I bet he's totally sweet.
I just want to call back your joke here. Can we all know exactly what the Permadick Award looks like, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
There's no doubt in my mind what the Permadick Award
looks like.
Well,
it's golden.
If this award lasts for more than 4 hours, please consult a physician. Yeah.
You don't want your limp award. All right, here's your, where were we? I don't even know. Let's see. Where. Oh, out the window. Got that Travolta stuff. Okay, how about this weird accent? Here you go.
Seen it rain like cats and dogs. But never in all my years have I seen it rain $100 bills.
All right, I don't buy that guy at all.
No.
No, especially the first part.
I've seen it rain like cats and dogs.
We've seen it rain like cats and dogs.
$100 bills.
Learned how to talk Cuban by playing Grand Theft Auto.
They'd even do a better job.
These are not Cubans.
So that actor is named Eduardo Yanez.
Oh my gosh.
Really?
Yes.
What?
He's got such a fun name to say, Eduardo Yanez.
Yeah, but was he born and raised in Idaho or something? Because he was
actually from Mexico City.
Okay.
Wow. He just he was just so far away from anything Caribbean sounding.
Yeah, that was bad. All right, something about guns.
And Mike, if you don't like it, just remember one thing. I've got more guns than you do.
I got more guns than you do.
I've got more guns than you do.
Okay, great.
Guns.
Great sounds of a face burning. Oh, yeah. This is the part where we burn Waldo's face. This is pretty good. Check it out. Is this his most memorable? Because I know this wrestler, what's his name?
Diesel.
Right, but he has Kevin Nash, is that it?
Kevin Nash.
Is he in more than, what else do we know him from Hollywood? There's got to be other stuff, right?
Nothing. He died. He got killed. You didn't see it with the oil in his face?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
And you're expecting, by the way, what the most disappointing death in the film is this guy, right? Because you're thinking, oh my God, all right, he's finally got the tables turned. He's got stuff in his face. Oh, he falls down the stairs.
Right.
Yep. Not a fun way to go. Oh, now I know what I saw him in recently. He was in John Wick, which I loved.
Ooh, John Wick is great.
Yeah, I love John Wick. A lot of people really disagree with me, though. A lot of emailers, they think John Wick was terrible, and I loved John Wick.
Simple stuff, man. Don't expect anything.
Yep, it's a good time.
Just a good revenge movie.
Sitting up in my Netflix, the box that we keep all of our DVDs from Netflix in, all of them. Both of our discs from Netflix in at any given time.
I was going to say, you're keeping every disc you get, writing in and going, we don't know what happened. There's a mail.
I guess something happened.
We lost the disc again. Oops.
So Kevin Nash also had a... Kevin Nash also had a bit part in Magic Mike, which I doubt any of us have seen.
No.
And I just feel like when that's, you know, you've been working and trying to get it going in Hollywood for 10 years and you were really famous in some other kind of entertainment and you're right. And you end up in a bit part in Magic Mike. I think that's where you hang it up. I'm impressed that he got a role in John Wick.
And he's in the new Magic Mike as well, the sequel. Lockdown would have been the time we saw him. Oh, wait.
Oh,
no, we didn't see Lockdown.
No, this is...
Yeah, we did.
No, I'm wrong. I got it wrong.
It's not Lock Up or Lock Up
yeah. or Lockout. Lockout?
Lockout?
Lockout. The one in space.
Yeah, Lockout. That was the space
one.
Yeah,
Lockout.
Yeah, Lockdown is some TV thing.
But Punisher was like, looks like the first thing he did after wrestling. No, I guess not. Nikki. The TV show Nikki. That was a comedy one, right? With Nikki Cox?
Yes.
Nikki Cox. Oh, yes. Nikki Cox. Yeah. Married to Jay Moore. Nikki Cox. Right? Mm-hmm.
You just like saying Nikki Cox.
I do.
Yeah. It kind of stinks trying to look at somebody in IMDb when they were in the WWF.
Yeah.
Because IMDb is all messy.
Yeah. It's kind of a not good.
Yeah.
He's all over the place because he's in all these names that could be wrestling matches or they could be bad films, and I can't tell which. Here's something about, what's this? Oh, I already did that one. How about this one?
I'm not saying shit.
Well, I don't want you to say shit. I want you to answer me.
Oh, yeah, I've tried that one before. That's pretty good.
Take you literally.
Here's the F-bomb in the movie. And I think there's only a couple, but this is the one I liked.
Need help with some underpants, sir?
Go fuck yourself.
That was great.
Do you need help with the underpants?
That made me laugh.
What, have you ever been asked at a store if you need any help with your underpants?
Never.
That's
but he's
amazing.
Sensitive because he's gay. That's supposed to be the joke, right?
Oh, is he gay? I don't know. I don't know he's gay.
He's supposed to be overly sensitive about that.
Oh, I see. Because he doesn't want to be out. Whereas, right.
But
okay.
Don't you,
so
man,
he's
got to
go over macho.
Don't you just want a TV show that follows Will Patton as Quentin around? Like, what's a day in his life like?
I would die. Dude,
oh,
I'd
it
hang
would
out
be
with
so
Quentin.
Good.
I love that actor. Why is he not in all sorts of things these days? Is he probably is, and I'm just not seeing them. I love him. I love Will Patton. Go F yourself. I already did that. All right, how about this one? Some great sounds, some great yelling.
Whoa! What? What?
That's that's when Travolta was swinging a knife at him. So there's that. Here's... What's this? Oh. Okay, my favorite part of that...
Train.
My favorite part of that is stop screaming. A good... 3/4 of a second before you hit the ground.
Right. Then potato sack.
Not to mention the fact that it's not that far down to the train tracks. She falls for what seems like, 500 feet.
Well, here, I'll count it. Here we go. 4.5 seconds.
Yeah.
So that is enough time for 4.5 people to fall and hit themselves on the ground. That's ridiculous. And then here's a good stab. I like the sound this guy made when he got stabbed.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that great? It's
another movie with the trope of the never-ending henchman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, gosh, there were a lot of henchmen in this movie.
What is the Lord of that has to be the first Die Hard, right? That had they had henchmen from top to bottom. They always showed up. They kept showing up. And then in the end, one still showed up again to fight McClane out in the parking lot. And then TGIF cop shot him, right?
I felt like the one for us was that JCVD movie, not Cyborg.
The one we just saw.
No. The one in Louisiana.
Hard Target, the best movie he ever made. That
Hard
one.
Target was for me the never-ending henchman, king of the tropes.
I thought you said Nard Target.
Nard Target.
Ow! I still say Hard Target, best movie he ever made. Period. Right. You can't name a better one. Try.
Godfather?
Nope. Godfather. What? The Van Damme is in?
Oh.
Van Damme is
in. No, not a better movie.
You said best movie ever.
No.
You said best movie ever.
Lord, you should question me harder on that if that's what I said. No. I'm saying best Van Damme movie.
Okay.
Time Cop.
I heard you say best movie ever, and I'm just like, no way, Scott.
Yeah. Hard Target, best movie I've ever seen. It's got to be Hard Target. I know. Time Cop's fun. Time Cop's a good time. I don't know if I'd put in the same boat though. Whatever.
I gotta go with Bloodsport because it gave us one of the best lines ever put in a movie.
I'm already woo biased, so I'm probably not. I shouldn't be allowed to even have a skin in this game. how about what's this? Oh, same one. All right.
This is the show where Scott plays every clip twice.
Yeah, right. I apologize. All right, here's the real one then.
You're right. Good memories can save your life.
Oh, we've never heard that before.
You were right. Good memories can save your life.
There's a little more excitement
what
in there.
A stupid line.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb. Okay.
Help!
Whoop,
help!
Stop.
Help!
And additional clips that have nothing to do with the movie.
Nothing's working. All right, it's time for the checklist. Film Sack checklist is this. 0 law enforcement of any kind in Puerto Rico. Check. Great action, terrible acting. Check. Finally, Vinnie Barbarino stabbing the copier salesman to death. Check. That was brutal, by the way. That killing him at the end was, oof, that was rough. Yeah.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah. I don't know if that I'd be saying, why are you killing me? Every time he did it, though. I think I just died.
It's not even funny.
It's not funny. John Travolta, stop doing it. It's not funny. Trek stuff. We got a connection. Jeff Chase was one of the enforcers. He played an alien Starfleet cadet in J.J. Abrams' Star Trek, the reboot. The crew dubbed him Dexter during the production to distinguish him from other alien creations or characters. Also appeared as a security officer guarding Khan in the 2013 sequel, Star Trek Into Darkness.
God.
Spoiler. Spoiler. Khan's in that movie. Spoiler.
Oh, no.
I know.
Is that who that Cumberbatch fellow plays?
Yeah. That's
seriously?
Who, yeah. I hate to break it to everyone in my sound of my voice.
Well, maybe if Kirk kicks the reactor a couple of times, everything will work out all right.
That's what we're hoping.
That's what she said.
Great. Soundtrack, great. I give it a DF or didn't fit, except for the fight in the apartment and the some of that stuff. But yeah.
And I hate the soundtrack while watching the movie, but I want to say if you get it away from the movie and just listen to it, it's actually really good.
Really? Not really, really good.
No, it's really good music. It's really good soundtrack music. You just, if when you're watching this movie, it's so bad.
Well, yeah, if I'm watching anywhere. The remains of the day, it might fit just fine. But this
I'm just
is
saying, you know, like you're like doing chores around the house. It's a really good score.
Is that a movie, Remains of the Day?
Well,
yes.
It is a movie, sure. Yes.
Is it also
what
based,
you listening to?
Like an Oscar winner, I think.
Oh. Is it also based on, it's based on famous books? Like, what's her name?
Remains of the Day book.
Yeah, like, hold on. That's going to bug me. Remains
Emma Thompson.
Of the Day book. I know this is going to bug me when I find it. It is written by, oh, it is. It's called The Remains of the Day, written by Kazuo Ishiguro, Guru. It's a Japanese book. There you go.
Okay.
Written
in
80s.
It's a Japanese book. You got to read it from right to left.
Yeah.
Remains of the Day.
Yeah. I went, dude, when I was in Tokyo, everything I picked up, hey, you had to do that. You had to start in the back and work your way forward. It was the weirdest thing I ever did. Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
The Punisher. God did indeed sit this one out. Thanks a lot, God.
Yeah. That was not nice to us. Brian Dunaway.
Wait a second, I'm rewriting my Twitter post. All right, The Punisher, 2004. Like never buying another shirt again, because the last person to do so got ran over. Now where is my reboot?
Nice. Finally, Brian.
I have a bad history of t-shirts.
Yeah. Brian Ibbett.
The Punisher, 2004. I've lived in 7 cities in 7 years, and in each one I've managed to find one new guy to play the Punisher, and I think Thomas Jane is that guy.
Bring him back, dude. I'm all for that. All right, it is the alternate title. Just hand it to me. Here's my Foley work for the week. It's not very good. Ain't No Law.
Post-it the note.
What? Post-it note. Post-it note. Yeah, it's a post-it note. Actually, it's one of Len Peralta's Geek of Week cards. It doesn't work the same. Ain't No Law in the Family Reunion, or The Real Punisher is the Fridge. Good Lord, that refrigerator. Ugh. Punishing,
yeah, right?
That fridge.
Oh, yeah.
That was nasty. Emails. We got an email from somebody who says, aloha, gentlemen. It's nice to poke at Randy because it's about Randy. It says, Randy, you are not the only one who loves Superman Returns. I suspect you get a lot of emails to this effect. My boyfriend really likes it and thinks it's better than The Man of Steel. We actually watched it together recently and thought it was pretty great too. Brandon Routh makes a great Superman, and yes, he's extraordinarily handsome. Also, you were talking about how Mike Myers could start playing late career Robin Williams type roles in a few years, and I totally agree. He already had a brief and hilarious cameo in Inglourious Basterds as one of the generals. I hope he does more stuff like that in the future. Love, Ashley. Yeah, I mean, we're all in on the Mike Myers comeback. And the thing is, he never really left. It was like self-imposed, right, in a lot of ways. Like, he was like, I'm tired. I don't want to do this as much. I don't want to be Austin Powers the rest of my life. I'm going to take some time off. He did that guru thing that wasn't very good. But
yeah, the love guru.
Yeah, other than that, kind of laid low. So, you know, I don't know what brings him out, but I'm all for him coming back. He's great. He did do a documentary. It's on Netflix right now, and it's about one of the more famous agents in Hollywood. He was his agent as well. And he repped for like all these famous people, and it's called Supermensch, I think.
I've seen that in the list, and I was really interested in that. So does he spearhead that documentary, yeah, or is he just one of the guy's clients that they interview for?
He directed it.
Oh, yeah. So he's behind. Okay.
It's his whole project, and I heard about it because he was on Terry Gross promoting it on Fresh Air one time, and I went, oh, I should check that out. Then I forgot about it, and now it's on Netflix. Forget no more, ladies and gentlemen. It's there to be viewed. We got a call. Let's play this call. These come to us, by the way, at 801-471-0462. This caller has this to say right here.
Hello, Scott, Randy, Brian. I would just like to say that I watched listened to the podcast on Scorcher, which was difficult, or actually every other movie and torture was the topic. But I just want to say, Mark Dacascos is actually in a lot of good movies, like Brotherhood of the Wolf that came out in 2001, or Le Pat de Loup, which is a very bad saying of the French term for the movie, and in Double Dragon 2, which is horrible. But I really like him. He was a Indian that had a staff, and he beat people up using martial arts, which makes no sense, but it was still pretty cool. Anyways, love the show. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Yeah, it's not really a ringing endorsement, is it?
I still like him best eating the giant pepper at the beginning of Iron Chef.
Or potatoes!
I'm telling you, if you have seen him, if you've seen him, you've seen him in one of two things. He's the chairman on Iron Chef, and he's WoFat in Hawaii Five-0. That's where you've seen him.
Well, those are his two prime roles. I agree with you. We love your phone calls. Keep them coming, please. Yes. That number again is 801-471-0462, or you can email us, filmsack@gmail.com. That's going to do it for us. Now, what is our movie next week? I have no idea. Let's take a look here. Let's see. I think I want to say... What? You hope it's what?
I hope it's Highlander. The Punisher again.
You hope it's getting another Punisher?
Highlander?
Oh, what, next week we're doing Mission Impossible 2?
Ooh, speaking of John Woo, dude. Movie that everyone seems to hate that I don't. So I must have a Woo problem, because I really don't hate his movies ever.
You have a Woo problem.
Pasta lasagna, don't get none on ya.
Yeah, that's right. I'm excited. That'll be fun. Escape from Alcatraz and then Highlander 3. Ibbot really wants Highlander 3.
I really want Highlander 3, I guess. Wow.
I can't believe we have Urban Cowboy on here. That's exciting to me.
Yeah.
Paycheck.
More
Paycheck's
freaking Travolta.
Are we doing another Woo movie with Paycheck after that? Wow.
Yes.
Okay. All right. It's fine with me. I mean, it's gonna be great. I like the guy.
Just go with it, Scott.
It's all very exciting. We're getting to it all very soon. And a reminder, at least as it stands today, we'll revisit the Punisher, but in the past, in 1989's Dolph Lundgren Punisher at Nerdtacular 2015. That will be our live movie, and should be loads of fun. There is a DVD on its way to me right now, which I will then legally rip and share with my friends.
Right. So, are you saying the audience has not been punished enough?
No, they deserve more punishment. That's what I'm saying.
It shall be more severe.
More severe this time. Listen, go see Fury Road again, everybody. It's a holiday weekend. Enjoy yourselves. That's going to do it for us. The website to visit is filmsack.com. You can find us on Twitter @filmsack. Leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever podcasts are available. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com. What was that in the background?
Middle of the outro, Brian Dunaway's yelling at somebody.
Right in the background. Is it time for dinner?